Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast. This is David Middleton, welcoming you to Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We are sharing with you on the important subject of Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. This prophecy is the most important time prophecy in the Word of God, as it declared the timing of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And all the Jews were continually looking for the coming of the Messiah throughout their history. This prophecy is also important because it declared the time period of God's dealing with the Jews in Jerusalem that relates not only to the first coming of the Messiah, but also to his second coming. If there's a misunderstanding of this prophecy, there will be error regarding end time events, including the timing of the Great Tribulation. So this is very important to understand. Now, to understand this prophecy, we saw at the beginning of Daniel chapter 9 that Daniel understood the prophecy of Jeremiah regarding the 70 years of desolations of Jerusalem, which occurred from 606 BC until 536 BC, when the Jews were taken captive to Babylon for the 70 years. This is from the writings of Jeremiah in chapter 25 and chapter 29, which we've already talked about. In verse 24, we saw that it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. We saw that the 70 weeks were speaking of 70 sevens of years, 70 times 7, which is 490 years. 490 years were decreed and determined upon the Jews and upon Jerusalem. Within this time of the 490 years, six infinitive clauses were to be accomplished. The only person who could accomplish these was the Messiah. And that meant that the Messiah was going to come to accomplish these six things. Well, Jesus did it. In his first coming, he came and finished and put to an end the transgression and lawlessness. He made an end of sins. He made reconciliation and atonement. He brought in everlasting righteousness. He sealed up, completed, and fulfilled all of the vision and prophecy of the Old Testament prophets about him. That's what that's speaking about. And to anoint the Holy One who was Jesus the Messiah, he was anointed as the ruler in his kingdom. This was all fulfilled in the first coming of Jesus Christ. We saw this in verse 24. Now we're going to continue on today in verse 25, where it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times." Now this verse tells us that we're to know and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince would be a total of 69 weeks. This is a very important time prophecy. The time period is given as 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 weeks is 7 times 7 years, equaling 49 years. The 62 weeks is 62 times 7 years, equaling 434 years. The total amount of time is split into 49 years and 434-year period because they identify two periods of time in God's dealing with the Jews. The 49-year period is the final period where the prophets were ministering to Israel before the Messiah would come. This 49-year period ended with the ministry of Malachi the prophet. Then the 62 weeks, or 434-year time period, were the years between the end of Malachi's ministry and the manifestation of Messiah the Prince. This 434-year time period is commonly called the silent years because there was no prophetic voice to the Jews until John the Baptist announced the arrival of the Messiah. As we see in verse 25, the starting point of when this 490-year period began is important for us to determine. And this was the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. It also says that the work of restoration and building of Jerusalem would be completed, and that the street would be built and the wall even in troublous times. This means there was going to be a lot of problems occurring while the restoration and building of Jerusalem was accomplished. To determine the starting point in time, first of all, we need to look at the succession of the kings of Persia. The first king was Cyrus, who began to rule in 536 BC. The second king was Cambyses in 530 BC. The third king was a usurper who impersonated Smerdis who was Cyrus's youngest son. He was known as Pseudo-Smerdis. He only reigned for 8 months in 521 BC. This third king is also known as Artaxerxes in the Bible. The fourth king was Darius, who began his reign in 521 BC. The fifth king was Xerxes, also known as Assuerus in the Bible. His reign was in 486 BC. And the sixth king was Artaxerxes, also known as Artaxerxes in the Bible. He began his reign in 464 BC. In history, he's known as Artaxerxes Longimanus. In looking at the decrees made by the kings of Persia, we will see the decree of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. In looking at the decree of Cyrus, it's recorded in 2 Chronicles and Ezra. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 22 to 23, and Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Here in verse 22, it speaks of how the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation through all the kingdom, and he put it in writing. And he said in verse 23 that all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. In Ezra chapter 1, in the first two verses, this is repeated. And then in verse 3, where he speaks, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He speaks again about this building of the house in verse 4, where it talks of those who would help with the silver and the gold and the goods and their freewill offerings for the house of God that was in Jerusalem. Verse 5 says that the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, the priests and the Levites, they all rose up to go and to build the house of the Lord which was in Jerusalem. Now when Cyrus made this decree, he declared that the Lord God of heaven had given him charge to build a house for him at Jerusalem. Cyrus knew about this charge from God because of a prophecy given by Isaiah some 200 years before. In Isaiah 44, 28, Isaiah prophesied, "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." Also in Isaiah 45, verse 1 and verse 13, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus." And in verse 13 he said, "I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts." So we see that Cyrus was God's shepherd, who was to perform his pleasure, and we see the specific things that were said, that he was to say to Jerusalem, "Thou shalt be built," and to the temple, "Thy foundation shall be laid." It is also said in Isaiah 45:13 that Cyrus shall build my city, referring to Jerusalem, and that he shall let go my captives. So Cyrus was to decree that Jerusalem shall be built, the temple shall be built, and the captive Jews were to be let go, and also Cyrus was to build the city. In Cyrus's proclamation in 2 Chronicles 36 and Ezra chapter 1, we find that it only speaks of a proclamation to build the house at Jerusalem, referring to the rebuilding of the temple. In fact, he speaks of the building of the house four times, but he never spoke about restoring or building the city of Jerusalem. Nowhere in the Word of God does it record that Cyrus made a proclamation to build Jerusalem. He made the decree to build the temple, and he did let the captive Jews go free, but he did not make a decree to build Jerusalem. Many scholars have assumed that Cyrus issued this decree to build Jerusalem in obedience to the prophecy of Isaiah, but there's no evidence in the Word of God that he did so. Without scriptural evidence, we certainly cannot assume that he issued the decree to build the city. In fact, in Ezra chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, we see what happened when the Jews began to build the temple in Jerusalem. It speaks in that passage how the adversaries came to hinder the building of the temple as commanded by Cyrus, and they successfully hindered the building of the temple until the reign of Darius. In Ezra 4:6, it also speaks after the reign of Cyrus of Cambyses, who was also known as Assuerus, where he began to reign as king, and the adversaries continued to hinder the building of the temple by writing to him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem, and they were successful in hindering the building. In Ezra chapter 4, verse 7 following, it speaks of the days of Artaxerxes. This is the third king, whose name was Pseudo-Smerdis, but also was known as Artaxerxes. And the adversaries wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes. In it, they advised the king that the Jews had come to Jerusalem to build the rebellious and bad city, to set up the walls and join the foundations, and if the city was built, the inhabitants would not pay toll, tribute, or custom, and it would damage the revenue of the kings. So they sent this letter asking the king to search the book of the records to verify that the city was a rebellious city, hurtful to kings, and moved a sedition in the past which caused the city to be destroyed. The letter continued, saying if the city is built, the king would have no portion or no possession of it. So the king answered the letter, and he made the search, found it to be true that the city had made insurrection against kings, had been rebellious and seditious, and he gave command to stop the Jews from building until a command was given from him. In Ezra 4:21, we see an important point, which we must address. The King James Version has made a great error in the translation of this verse. It says in verse 21, "Give you now commandment to cause these men to cease, that the city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me." By stating another commandment, this would imply that a commandment was already given to build the city. The word another has been added by the translators. There's no Hebrew word to support the translation of it. It can actually be observed in the King James Version because the word another is italicized, which means it's not in the original translation. In fact, no other translation has this in it. It literally should say, "until commandment shall be given from me." The great error is the fact that it could lead someone to believe that a command had already been given to build the city, when in fact no commandment had been given to build the city as yet. Now, the result of this command was the Jews were made to cease the building of the city. It also resulted in the ceasing of the work of the house of God until the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. We don't see any decree yet made to build the city of Jerusalem yet. Now, another important point needs to come into play. The decree of kings in Persia became law. The laws from the decree of kings could not be altered or changed. This is understood from Daniel chapter 6, verse 8 and verse 12. Remember when the king established a decree and signed in writing that resulted in Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. And it is declared there that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. In fact, in verse 12, the question was spoken to the king, "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Otherwise, he could not do anything to stop it, because once the decree was made, it was declared as law. This means that if a decree had been given by Cyrus or Cambyses, Pseudo-Smerdis, to build the city of Jerusalem, it could not be changed. This obviously means that a decree had not been made by any of these kings to build the city of Jerusalem, but the decree was made by Cyrus only to build the house of God. Now when we come to Ezra chapter 5, where Darius was the fourth king in succession of the Persian kings, we see that the prophets Haggai and Zechariah prophesied to the Jews and began to help them in continuing to build the temple, the house of God. Again, the adversaries tried to hinder their efforts by asking them who commanded them to build the house, and they said Cyrus made a decree to build the house of God. And so the adversaries wrote to Darius the king and asked for him to make a search in the king's treasure house to see if the decree was made by Cyrus. Well, Darius proceeded to make the search and found the decree made by Cyrus. And in the recording of this decree, it only speaks of the decree of Cyrus to build the house of God. So Darius in chapter 6 makes another decree to build the house of God with speed. They proceed to build the house of God, and they finished it in the sixth year of the reign of Darius, which was in 515 BC. This is declared in verse 15. So we see that the temple has been completed, but we haven't seen the decree commanding the restoring and rebuilding of Jerusalem. As I close the program today, I have a book on this subject called Daniel's 70 Weeks Prophecy, $6 postage paid. To get it, give us a call at 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.